So, what shall we look at this morning?
Oh, yeah, something I've been looking at. So, it has to do with the, I guess, the third email class assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And the part where, okay, for a nine, it says these rituals,
narcotization.
Yes.
Yes.
And I have, I've been looking at the difference between that and having ritual, practice rituals that keep you on your toes.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So I haven't gotten very far with that since that just kind of came out.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so there's a way in which the nine, nine's defense mechanism around stress is to participate in rituals, right? There's a certain rhythm or a certain structure
mm-hmm.
that they turn to in order to cope with the stress or make them feel better. And what you're looking at is the difference between doing that and the rituals of practice.
Well, like the regular structure of, you know, like you said, the monastery, it's a schedule and it's continuous every day forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, between that and what they're saying. Now I know when, the feeling of being how do you say that word?
Mm-hmm.
Narcotized.
Narcotized. Yeah.
Narcotized. You know, it's kind of like blunt. You know, I know that how that feels. But I don't see it in the way I do my, like a schedule on my life. But here's the thing that comes up all the time is that whenever there's anything like that or you know, in practice, or Sherry, you know, sometimes, I'll just say it this way, but doesn't have to be this way, it goes on a rant, you know, anything like that, it's like conditioning's always pointing at me and saying, see, you're doing it wrong. I mean, it always tries to make me fit into something that I don't think is really so.
Uh-huh.
Just like this. I don't think what I'm doing is that.
Got it.
But uh-huh. It would say, oh, see?
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think I'm tracking what you're pointing to, which is, you know, you're looking at a like process, right? So there's a way in which when Sherry is passionate about something and is pointing to something, there's a way in which conditioning is going to say, Phil, you are doing what she's
You're doing
talking about
that.
Even though there's an experience of that not being applicable to you.
Yes.
Right? And that same sense is what you have around reading this thing in an email class and saying, well, you know, I don't think I do that when I'm doing my practices.
Yeah.
But there's that conversation that produces, may I use the word doubt?
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say, is that, and that's more the process I wanted to look at than answer to that question, because that's exactly what it does, and I've practiced now for a long time hard, not entertaining doubt. So I don't entertain it, but it's there, and it's like I could entertain it because
uh-huh.
it seems to like
so
it could be so, because...
Yeah.
Sherry or the email class is saying that.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So the thing that you're actually looking at, rather than whether you do it or you don't, is the process you experience when there is a statement that it can use to say, Phil, are you sure you're doing it right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's sort of like an awareness of doubt, an intention not to indulge it, but aware that it's attempting to come in and give you that feeling of whatever that feeling is.
Yeah, and I have two more that just dropped in. So one was when she said, and I know it's true, if you're sitting on the cushion, the voices of self-hate talking to you, you're not meditating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I agree with that, and that doesn't happen to me, but Then she said once, if you're sitting on the cushion wool gathering, then you're not meditating. Mm-hmm. And so there I was like, okay, what's the difference between, you know, trying to look at the difference between wool gathering and, you know, sitting there off, coming back, you mm-hmm. know,
yeah.
getting like coming back. So, and it did that same process.
Yes.
It does that same process with those.
Yes. So may I, if we really look at that, it's a really interesting process, right, Phil, because it's so many different things that are coming together in that process of doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But what I project you're looking at is, what am I looking to?
Yes, because...
If I'm looking to what's telling me I'm doing it wrong, then there's a sense of, yeah, well, maybe I am. So it's almost like you're doing it wrong and going, really? Am I doing it wrong?
Yeah.
And then looking at what is being said or pointed to and looking to say, okay, well, if it's being said, then I have to look to see whether I'm doing it wrong or not. And what happens, I project, is that we don't look here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the awareness, right? Yeah. I'm not looking. I have a sense of, oh, well, I'm not actually, that's not my experience. But I'm not allowed to stay in, that's not my experience, because the attention moves to, are you sure?
Yeah, yeah. So that's it. That's the second part. Okay, so I don't go with it. Right?
Yeah.
I don't, and I stay here. And there's like, I can feel it even now. It's just this kind of low-grade, well, oddly enough, maybe not, maybe yeah, maybe you're all, you know. And it's done that, I guess, probably all my life. So it always has to go. Okay, so am I doing it, basically what it would want me to say or what I would want to say is, am I doing it right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and if we're looking at the stress level,
yeah.
I think part of what they say about the nine is, stress happens when you have to make a choice between two things.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah.
Right? I would project, perhaps, that the sensation that I'm resting in at that moment is, because also the nine entertains every point of view.
That's right.
So you're stuck in a place of, well, that could be true. This could be true. This could be true. What's true?
That's right. And then with a big one wing that says, and what's right?
And what's right? Right?
Yeah.
We can say that's just so interesting to note all of that. And I project when an escalation of that happens, is what the defense mechanism is pointing to, which is, I can't deal with all this.
Yeah.
I just have to numb myself to all of these various questions because I can't stand the feeling of this guy.
Okay, so what's the difference between that and just saying, okay, I'll drop it and come back to here? You know, how am I... You know what I mean? It just keeps going.
So there's a way in which... This is taking that over again, right?
Uh-huh,
which
yeah.
is, okay, I want to know what the difference is between moving my attention from here to here
right.
to I'm just going to eat a lot of cake.
Well, no, here's what happens for me, though. And it's a good thing. You know, it's like, okay, I give up. I forget about the whole thing.
Which could also be one of those places where it's going to go, is that just not dealing with it?
I know.
Or is
for some reason it does. I mean, I don't have that feeling when I say that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That it's like it's gone.
Yes. It's marvelous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I project that if we go from the and this is sort of an experience of an answer, but that's not what it is.
Yeah.
But what I think you're finally saying is there's a way in which I exit that process and come back here in that I give up.
Well, I surrender. I don't know. It's not up to me. All I can do is love unconditionally.
That's exactly right. And so that experience of resting in that is very, very different from attempting to determine if the quality of the movement from breath, I mean, from wool gathering or self-hate to here is the same as coming back here.
Yes, because I know, you know, when you said to blank out and go eat a piece of cake, there would never be cake. But I know that experience of that just, you know, I mean, whatever. I don't know even what I eat, but, you know, something.
Oh, something. Whatever it is. Let me just do something else.
Let me go answer emails. And that one I just said, because it's like, in one, there's a fog, and the other one, the lights are really bright.
Yes. Which probably is the answer to the question.
Yeah.
Right? Which is, am I here or not?
Right.
That's it.
It is. Yeah.
Right? Even in the excessive place of discomfort, where I'm aware of that sensation of the question, there's awareness. So I would project, I mean, the definition of a defense mechanism is a coping strategy which allows me to feel better about whatever is going on and keeps me intact.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Versus what we're looking at here, which is, I could be in awareness of the whole thing. If I'm here on the cushion, aware of attention going to self-hate, or attention going to a plan, doesn't mean I'm not present.
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But there is an experience that is the difference from being here, and present, and not being here. And I would project narcotization is wanting for it to be numb, for presence
getting some kind of comfort, even though it's certainly not comfortable.
It's sort of a way of somehow shutting this up, or so we think, by going unconscious, rather than by coming into conscious awareness and being aware of what this is doing, what the bird is singing, what the sensations are.
Yeah, that's the exact difference,
yeah.
Yeah. Very good, thank you.
Thank you. Autumn.
So, I've not heard the expression wool gathering before, so I'm guessing that means making plans.
It must be an English term, but it's a, your attention has wandered off, and you're just kind of like, I might go and get a cup coffee and read a book. And
so it's interesting because whenever that example comes up of, you know, wandering off to like grocery list, things like that, I'm like, God, mine are always far more stressful and anxiety provoking than that. They're never that sort of like la la la. It's more like, oh, that presentation I have to give on Tuesday, and am I going to say this, and how I'm going to do this, and da da da. And I notice that, I noticed two things. One is that I spend a lot of time in meditation thinking about the things I'm going to do in the future and how I might possibly mess them up, and how, like, and sort of planning each thing. And here's how I'm going to address this issue, and here's how I'm going to address this issue, and what's another issue that I need to look at? And sort of going over and over problems. And then finding solutions for that. And then I'll be like, oh, hey, you know, I'll notice that that's happening, then I'll come back to the breath. And then before you know it, I'm like on number 18, 19, 20, because while I'm counting, I'm still doing it. So then there's this, oh, wait, now coming back in. And I'm finding it really challenging. And then I noticed yesterday morning, I was hosting an event at my house, just a clothing swap with some friends, and I woke up and I thought, oh, you know, I should probably just meditate later today. And as soon as that thought came in, I was like, oh, I have to go right now and meditate, because I don't want to entertain that, because it'll be on my mind all day. It'll be this nagging thing, like, And it's just, I feel like without, if I don't do it every day, it's just too slippery of a slope. So the thing that I'm sort of holding on to right now is I'm still meditating. I'm meditating every day, but I haven't been here in like 2 weeks because the Thanksgiving. There was Halloween and there was some other travels and things. But I feel the difference in not coming for 2 weeks. I feel like when I woke up this morning, it felt like there was just an anvil on my chest. Mm. And I was trying to figure out the source of the, like, what's the source of my anxiety? Like, oh, and I could point to several different pieces of content, like this thing is happening. And I guess I'm just wanting to explore that a little bit.
Yeah, so there are two things that you brought up. The first one was the experience you have in meditation is very, very different from wool gathering. It's not benign, right?
Yeah.
It's extremely anxiety-producing and
yeah.
very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And the quality of that is very familiar to you,
mm-hmm.
right? That it's about issues. It's about problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a sort of a way in which that is a thought pattern. And so the interesting thing to me, Autumn, is so what? Right? So that's what the thought pattern is. And I'm just here. I watch it. I realize it. Realize that I don't want to... the attention has wandered off. And when there's an awareness of that, I'm sitting on the cushion and I'm breathing and I'm bringing my attention back here. So the whole... I know you've seen No Secret. There are no secrets, right? Pay attention to everything. Believe nothing. Don't take anything personally. That's all I'm doing on the cushion. I'm not going for an experience where the quality of my thought is wool gathering or there's no thought here.
Well, I think I am, actually. Like, I think
yeah.
I'm wanting a different experience
well,
than the one I'm having.
That's exactly right, which is what suffering is.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm pointing to. If I could just sit here and go, oh, attention went there to stress, attention back here to breath, attention went there, and that is my experience of meditation, there's no problem.
Well, when you put it that way.
I just relax into it, right? But here's the interesting correlation to the second part of the observation you're having. So when we meditate, I mean, I could tell today my meditation today was extremely active. There was such a level of restless energy in the body, and I just sat there with it. Because I think that's the training for us, is whatever is here is what I'm with. That's all. That's another thing I'm training to do. I'm sitting here and being able to sit with everything that arises in existence. Pain, boredom, terror, fantasy, planning, anxiety, whatever it is that shows up. I can be here with it. Be here for it. And so, you don't do it. You don't sort of touch in for 2 weeks. Or you know you don't do it in the morning. And what I think, I don't know, this is something for you to explore, but what I projectly see as we train in this way, right? It's a skill. So if I had this experience of, I used to be able to read anything at some point. Now if there are more than, I don't know, 1,000 words on a page, I don't want to touch the book because I've lost the ability to read dense things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a skill. If I keep reading it, I'll regain that ability to do that. It's hard at first, but then eventually I'll be used to doing it. So what we realize when we sit here and direct the attention, no matter what's going on, is our awareness of our skill in being able to do that. And so if we don't do it for a while, we notice we can't be here with everything that is. We get distracted a lot more. It's easier for the thought pattern to engulf me than my ability to redirect the attention to an expanded awareness, which is not believing the thought pattern. Right? And so that might just be a place to explore where I know that if I sit on the cushion and for 30 minutes practice redirecting the attention, no matter what the quality of the thinking is, then I'm increasing my ability to do that. And when I don't, maybe there's an erosion of that. And what I'm aware of is that the experience of my life, when I can redirect my attention, is of a different quality than I don't, when I don't. And so I choose to do that because that's the quality of life I choose. Yeah. Thank you. Jodine, and then Beth.
I can chime in on, I want my meditation to be different.
Yes.
I've been lately dealing with physical challenges where I have this movement disorder and I can't hold the right side of my body still. Like, I physically can't do that anymore. And there's been this evolution, you know, with all that, like the effect that it had on meditation for me has, you know, grown and changed as the affliction has, like, changed. And recently I was on retreat and realized that I've just got to the point where my first, my go-to behavior was to kind of white knuckle through it and, like, hold my body as still as I could. Because that's sitting still. Like, this is, you know, the story of my head. And then I ended up, you know, working with the guide because, you know, that wasn't working for me. That was causing all sorts of physical problems, especially when I was on retreat. And anyhow, at this point now, I realize that what's been going on over the years with this is I've had to go completely back to, like, ground zero, beginner's mind, and rethink meditation, you know.
So let me reflect that, right, Jordan, because I think what you're pointing to in this process of watching how your ability to sit still is not under your control anymore, right? It's involuntary. It's not something that you can control. And so then there's the reaction to that is white knuckle through it. And then there's the willingness to work with it because there's an acceptance of the reality of that.
Right. And also that led to not sitting.
Uh-huh.
Because
I mean,
who wants to sit there? And,
yeah.
You know,
and why not
hurt?
Yes. Well, and the thing that video about meditation, compassion no matter what. Right? Which I would project is what starts to get go when conditioning is controlling your idea of a perfect meditation, which is what you came to, which is I have to rethink meditation is a different way of saying that I actually don't know, that I can't sit according to a standard or belief of meditation anymore. And this process allows me to see that I have one.
Right, and going back to the Enneagram, so I'm type 6, and I want to know what the rule is, and I want to follow it.
Yeah.
I just want to know what's the rule. I sit still. Okay. I finally, at the end of the last retreat, felt really, really grateful for having to do that.
Yes. Like, yes, exactly. Yeah. And we do. We come to gratitude. Because what I hear you say, Red Jordan, is there's a way in which that's a practice arc, right? Here it is. You've been sitting for as long as you've been practicing. And now you're aware that something is happening for you physically that prevents you from sitting the way you have to sit, or have you been told is the structure of meditation.
Yes.
Right? The compassion goes out of the window as we attempt to do in the face of our experience what the belief is controlling us into.
Right. And even in the face of guidance.
Because
at the monastery I was told, you know, I expressed concern about, you know, this is going on. And I was told, well, it's like somebody sneezed. Like, so what? You know? Doesn't matter if you sit. Like, I would try to sit when there was nobody on my right side. And they're like, sit wherever you want. And I'm like, what? So there's a model of compassion,
yeah.
and inside I was like, no, that can't be for me.
Yes. And the gratitude that we come to at the end of a process like that is because the self dissolves. Right? That which is holding on, that which is white knuckled through making the poor human being suffer or quit.
Quit, right? Yeah.
Is finally let go of. And then we go, okay, beginner's mind. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's that thing about, I wrote in the last musings article about practicing versus practices. If
mm-hmm.
I am practicing mm-hmm. by being in the structure of it, which is, I think, very familiar for an Enneagram 6,
mm-hmm.
that I know the rule, I follow the rule, and that makes me feel me in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that me has to dissolve.
And like, I'm done. It's nice to me.
Yeah, there's no presence there.
Yeah.
There's no compassion there. But to be able to be given that, or model that compassion, or held in that compassion that allows for the dissolving of the identity, so that the life here allows for, now this is the reality. What is meditation? What's paying attention in this reality? In what is so, not what, how it should be.
Yes, and where my attention has gone as I've, you know, kind of adopted the new approach to sitting is, I'm very aware of when the tremor's going or not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, feeling this kind of subtle, when it's off, feeling this kind of subtle thing that happens in my body, and then I know it's coming on,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then having to, like, you know, just drop all those judgments.
Yes.
And being given permission to drop all those judgments. But then getting to the end of a meditation and realizing I was, like, 100% present.
Yes!
The whole time!
Yes! Yes! Exactly so. Which is the difference between doing practices and practicing.
Yeah.
What are you practicing? Are you practicing sitting on a cushion and white-knuckling it through and not being here for it, or not being compassionate to the human being? No.
Yes.
If I have my attention completely present on this here now, on what this body is experiencing, that's what I'm practicing in meditation.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what I have now.
Yes.
That's what.
Well, and if
now.
Yes. And so it's as an extension, right? What I'm doing awareness practice for, if we say that there isn't a reason to do it at all, is the ability to be there for Jodine,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what's going on. And so to be here, to be present to what's going on in her body, not to let the voices judge the fact that she has that going on for her body.
Mm-hmm.
For her to be in compassion with whatever is going on is what we want to practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we're all practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the alternative is horrible.
Abandoning myself.
Yeah, denying what's
yeah.
going on.
Yeah.
Trying to suffer through something that is not true, and being miserable in the process.
Well, and looking to the voice,
looking to the voice.
You know,
yeah,
constantly.
And it's quite interesting the extent to which we have to be driven to the edge to listen to guidance.
or even seek guidance.
Or even seek it.
I feel like, gosh, if I had talked earlier about this, like,
That's one to ignore, right?
Right.
No recriminations, no regrets, nothing.
Right.
Now, there's a gift in that process because, you know, it's a weird thing to say, but we say it a lot. We stop suffering when we suffer too much.
Mm-hmm.
Until we get to the place where we're willing to do whatever it takes to let go of that, or for it to let go of us, we won't.
Mm-hmm. Right, to admit, like, this is my experience right now.
Yeah, I can't do this.
Yeah.
It's only when I say, when I'm willing to surrender the I that can, is there even space for life to say, okay, well, here's an option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Well, along those lines, receiving guidance when, how would I put it? When you had no idea what was actually happening, and you didn't know that you were suffering.
Mm.
And to get that guidance as kind of like a gobsmack, you know, just a total felt to ego out of left field. And to have a door opened where all of a sudden I'm seeing it everywhere.
Mm.
And so what I'm looking at is assumptions.
Mm.
Assumptions of, obviously ego, of how I am, of how it is. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's it.
Yeah, but the I we're talking about is...
Yeah, the identification of me with what the voices are saying I'm supposed to be, you know, or how I am.
Yeah.
And so I started this kind of deep dive into where am I assuming things? And I just went on a trip to visit friends and family. And when I brought attention to this, I mean, it was just in almost every interaction. I checked into the hotel. They said something. I said, oh, that's because blah, blah, blah. And I walked away. I came back and I go, actually, I have no idea if that's because of blah, blah, blah. I said, well, you know, they had done something. I just said, thank you. I was meeting a family member for dinner, and she said, can I bring my boyfriend? And there was no asking any question, like, oh, which boyfriend is this? Or, like, boyfriend? I didn't know, you know, is this... It was just, sure, bring him along. And just this kind of laissez-faire, like, I want to look like I'm so inclusive and that I know. And that I know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy shows up, and I kind of had heard about the other one, and the guy shows up, and I just call him by that name. Even though he was completely different. My experience in that moment was this was, and I went, so did this guy, like, get, like, a whole makeover? But I just, because I had to know, I had to look, because there's this, what I'm just seeing right now is, knowing is a form of caring. Because I know what his name is, because I've heard you talk about him, even though it's been several months since I've heard you talk about him. Well, it was several months since I'd heard from her at all. But there was no clarification on my side. There was this assumption that I know. And I had a really fun time because, I had started fantasizing about how I was going to interact with the old one. And because he was totally age inappropriate in my world, and how I was going to do all that, and I realized that that's what was happening, and I went, nope, I'm going to wait till I meet him. Nope, I'm going to wait till I meet, you know, and I could drop the conversation. It was hard, but there was a place where I finally, like, let's just meet him. And yet, when I met him, there was still, like, this huge assumption in place, like, I know. And where I see that played out over and over is, like, trying to finish people's sentences.
Mm.
Like, really wanting to know what they're going to say. Really wanting to, you know, like, I'm there with you, but what I'm really seeing right now, just going through it, is that there's this caring. There's this, it got linked with caring. Mm. You know, I care. I've listened to you. I've heard. Or, you know, I feel like I know you. So I can just assume that I know what they're going to say next. And so it's just, and then the last thing I'll say is, so I took some people out to dinner and I was sitting there and I was watching everybody and I had that moment of, you know, different perspective. And typically the story is, this is so fun, you know, I love getting together with people and eating and just really enjoying each other's company and all that. And I stepped back and I went, do I? I actually don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, but that's the story. That was the assumption of, this is what I always do. This is what I love.
Yeah. So there's so much in that, right? But the thing that I was hearing, and on a process level, around assumptions. So it's a frightening thing for us to awake to. I can only see what I'm conditioned to see.
Yeah.
And I cannot see anything else.
Right.
Unless I'm made aware of it.
Right.
Somehow.
Right.
Right? That's what you started us off with, that yeah. There's a way in which there is a, you're not seeing this. You're
right.
Complete, you're so unconscious.
Right.
That there isn't the ability to see anything else.
Right.
And so then that prompts us to start looking to how that process of unconsciousness operates, which is in itself an interesting, it's completely interesting. If I cannot see anything I'm not conditioned to see, what allows me to see what I'm not conditioned
right.
to see?
Right. Right.
The quest of that drops us into awareness,
mm-hmm.
an expanded awareness place, which is what I love about Zen practice.
Mm.
Right? That we're never told this is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever we're told to do cultivates either attention or awareness in a way that allows us to expand our sight.
Mm. Nicely said.
Right?
Yeah.
And so then here you are watching for this whole notion of assumption and catching it in all these places. And the thing that we've been looking at the monastery recently is how much that, whatever we're talking about here, is simply looking to conditioned mind.
Mm-hmm.
Which is defined. In your case, it's I know, or I care, or that's really what assumption, the root of assumption is simply having attention consulting conditioning rather than consulting here.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because here you are in front of this person who's a completely different person. But the process is to make this true,
mm-hmm.
not this true.
Right.
I'm going to connect
right.
the assumption
right.
to
right.
what's going on here.
Right.
And to recognize that that's how I'm unconscious, it's because the attention is on whatever the conditioned notion of orientation of life. It's a constant consultation with something static.
Well, and I don't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
So, in that moment of seeing this completely, from what I, because I've never met the other one either, but what I had heard was certain age, and this was just not, you know, not that age. And I just remember kind of going, like awareness registered it.
Yes.
Yes.
Saw it all. And then conditioning.
And then it, yes, I just got kind of bulldozed. There was even like kind of a like a, like I said his name, but I looked at her and I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
Like even, like I can see, so this is how I work, this is how it seems to work with me with conditioning is that it gets sooner and sooner. Like once I'm onto the pattern, it gets sooner and sooner that I catch that it's a
yes.
conditioned process.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like, wow, I was almost at the point and you would be, you know, like,
yes.
to like, yes, have them say that, you know, and I could see, oh, that could be, you know, what could happen because there was recognition that
Yes. This doesn't fit.
Yes.
This.
Yes. And I think that you're pointing to an important training process in practice, right?
Yeah.
So the still small voice, that queasy feeling, that needle that is awareness registering,
right,
is what, as soon as it registers, to give it more attention than right? But it's a process where I have to really watch for and pay attention to and go with my experience over my beliefs.
Yeah.
And that really is
the training.
Is training.
It really, sorry.
Yeah.
See, I'm doing it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly it. And just one, I'll just follow up with this. I was able to then walk into the restaurant and look at him and go, you know, I just didn't get that memo. You know, my apologies. He was totally gracious about it. But I was able to kind of go, you know, I apologize for making an assumption that just wasn't accurate. And it felt so good to be able to just be in that place then.
To be present.
Oh, exactly.
No self-hate.
And no self-hate. And just to go, you know, like to the universe, not
thank you for that.
Thank you for showing me again, you know, like you're bringing it on, you know, you're just giving me every opportunity to practice. So. Yeah.
Well, and then that last bit about caring, that is the pernicious part of it, right?
Yeah.
Because we're conditioned to believe that that our goodness is related to this quality that we are, and really that process of putting two things together that are not connected really, really is not serving our ability to be here, which is the only place where everything truly is. Right? Caring is, and presence is, and security is, and all of that.
Well, and that's the biggest thing I saw, just because I was sitting meditation, and I went, oh my gosh, that's what dropped in, was that's getting put together with that. So what does care, because I feel like I've been on this whole quest of how I was raised and what the definition of love was and the acts that went called love.
Yeah.
It's like I have to relearn everything.
Yeah,
like
going back to how do I meditate? Yeah. Yeah, with beginner's mind, it's what's caring with beginner's mind.
Exactly.
And I would say one other thing, right, that which is the last point you said, where I disidentified and went, oh, well, the story is that I enjoy this, but do I really? And there is that checking in to see what's going on right now.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting place, because there's a way in which the disidentification gives you the experience of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not you do or do not enjoy getting together with people is can become a different story if the lesson from that, the takeaway from that, is I'm not making an assumption forever. In this moment, when I check in, I don't know whether the story is true.
Right.
Let me see.
Right. That's great.
Right?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Thank you. Tim?
I was just grateful for some of the things that have dropped in. And one of them was, just because I see something doesn't mean I have to do something.
Mm, yes. Very important.
Yeah. Like was just said before, I kind of missed that memo. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, I think I've heard that before, but it's come up a lot in meditation and the belief that of there's a right way to do it. And when I saw that it was, I can just watch the stories and that's it. And have compassion. Well, I don't know if that's a, I don't want to have compassion for ego here, but there's just, I'm very aware of this part of like, but I don't get to be me if I don't, me is planning on what to do about all the crap that I see that comes up. That's me. I get to protect that, cultivate that, and do that. So there's, I feel or I see this panic part that comes up around, yeah, but you saw this. So the next logical thing to do is make a plan for it mm-hmm. and follow through. And there's some, you know, fantasize about where all of that goes.
Mm-hmm. Well, then it's, and the interesting part of that, if I may reflect. So first, just because I see something, I don't have to do something. Which is interestingly followed up with, if I don't do it, I don't get to be me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is actually true, you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Right?
Yeah.
But you don't is just simply a thought pattern that feels very familiar, doesn't get perpetuated. It doesn't mm-hmm. actually, the two things that get put together for us around that is, only if I'm me can I do. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a way in which you're completely animated by existence and could do all kinds of things animated by existence. That isn't, they're not contradictory, right? So the assumption here
right.
is, I get to do this only if I am me. And until we let go of that, we don't actually have the experience that I don't have to let that thought pattern continue in order for anything to happen through me.
Yes, I don't have to believe that if I do that thing, it's going to
just simply that the root assumption that we're all working with is I'm ego, right? So there's that the thing that wants to be that I'm identified with as what I am,
mm-hmm.
right? And so all I'm pointing out to is there's the only reason I believe that the only way I can do something is because I'm identified with that which believes it does something. Right?
Yeah.
And if I disidentify, which I'm pretty sure you've had the experience of, so much gets done by Tim and the life flowing through Tim. Whether or not you're identified with something that believes that I've got to be me in order to do it. That is sort of an addition onto that.
Yeah, and it's sort of, it's exciting to see the other options, I guess, that come in with it, with just, it's really a lot simpler than I was making out to be. You know, you just have to show up and like see these things that are happening.
Yeah.
You don't have to manipulate or, but in doing that and not going down like the various other rabbit holes, there's other things that I see too, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Other options might
uh-huh.
come in that
uh-huh.
we're not considering.
Uh-huh.
Part of my process is, or what I see is, you know, ego then wants to package that and like, oh, well, that was neat. How did you do that? Let's
uh-huh.
keep it for next time. And
uh-huh.
let's always be this way.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah.
Let's always just do that. Because, you know, and that's kind of funny, too.
Yes.
And that's it.
Well, and I think that what you're pointing us to is important, right? Because if I'm paying attention, I watch all of the flavors of ego, right? There's an I that is planning, this is how I'm going to do this. There's the I that feels, oh, if I have to give myself up, I can't be myself. Then there's the thing that says, oh, well, you let go of that for a second. How about you keep letting go of it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the awareness, as you said, when I see all this, all I need to do is to show up and see it. I don't have to do anything because that's important. What I wants to do about anything is just one more of those things that
right.
describe ego.
Right.
And so if I pay attention to, these are the ways in which my attention is being distracted and I stay here in stillness and not do or believe any of those things, something else drops in that allows me to move not from an ego place.
Yes.
Which then builds our experience of, that's what I want to identify, that's what I identify as what is me, not
mm-hmm.
this that believes it's who I am.
Yeah, and I guess it's another vote of confidence for showing up to Sangha.
Yes.
Like, to, you know, I mean, what do you do with that if you come back to the Sangha? Come back next week. And,
yes.
Yes.
Well, that's a beautiful articulation.
Uh-huh.
Because when I'm here, I'm having an experience.
Yeah.
I am being, not doing.
Yeah, you're right.
And in the being, there is transformation.
Yeah.
And that's my that is my visceral experience that I don't do squat.
Yeah.
It is done. That is a better way of describing life than I do this.
Mm. I know. I just, there's so much there that wants to be. Yeah, but.
Mm.
I know, but it's just like it wants to be.
Yeah, and so we watch that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's just, it's really there.
It's there.
Yeah.
And it's there as long as I attend to it.
Right. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Is there time? Yeah, there is. Just two things. One is the last musings article, how helpful that was with day 16.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I just keep... Because I had seen in the previous month, actually for a couple of months, that had been a really an amazing experience,
mm-hmm.
doing that exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I feel like this portal is just expanding,
mm-hmm.
As I listen to musings that I've recorded. And so that, and the other is with the email class,
mm-hmm.
for being a one, I don't even remember what the Reformation. So I don't even.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. That
Reaction right. Formation. It's a mouthful.
The name's driving me nuts. But I had decided to get past that to see. So what's the defense mechanism? You know, and one that I saw are the for ones that's doing the opposite,
uh-huh.
of what's coming up. And I had an amazing experience with a friend who I've learned from, you know, over time. That when she tells me something, I can't trust isn't quite it. I can know that there's a good chance she won't remember that she made that commitment.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's the way it is. And sometimes we are at, I go from the assumption that it, what she said, anyway. So I realized I needed to check in with her something. And I did, and sure enough, it was the opposite of what I was sure. I could have recorded that. So, what happened for me afterwards, even knowing that, there was this hysterical inner thing going on.
Mm.
But on the phone call with her, was the opposite.
Uh-huh.
Laughing, and, oh, really? Oh, well, I remember just the opposite. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my
inside,
God, yeah.
It's just hysterical.
Yeah.
And I get off, and there's that going on.
Yeah.
And talk about Sangha. Friday morning, it was Carol?
Mm-hmm.
We're here to practice presence.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple other things she mentioned, and I could go to that and see, I don't even know, that mechanism is what causes conditioning to come in and go, you're such a fake.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that situation, I had done the opposite of what was going on. You know, you're not going to say, that drives me nuts what you say. So, yes,
well,
what can you see?
Yes, exactly.
That's right.
Right, so, and the thing that I love about that is it brings us back to what you started on day 16, right? Which is to record what is true about you, that self-hate can't torture you, the internalization of which does not allow self-hate to torture you. Because the torture here is, you're a fake,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Here you are on the phone being a nice, good person to your friend, while inside you're having a hissy fit,
mm-hmm.
right? And and that that the way in which the recording that is true about you can be made is only if you don't identify with that which is fake.
Yes. And as we as I have practiced that with each month, I'm always in a way sort of blown away that what's experienced and
yes.
what is said as a result of going through that exercise. Yes. So I'm going with that.
Yes, exactly. I was aware of it. That which was aware of it is what the identification is with, not what is not.
Yes.
So it's not me that is fake.
Right, and that, what was so fascinating, pardon, I'm being told I need to be really quick about this, but what was amazing about it was to be feeling all of that turmoil, suffering in it, and at the same time, seeing that there was another way.
Yeah.
And having the somehow having the faith and knowing the tools that this too shall pass. And hopefully there'll be some clarity about that.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be different.
Different than
whatever the experience was.
Right. And that's part of what came in from a mentoring perspective was that's just what you're going through.
That's right.
And that was really
unbelievable.
That's all. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Because there's this hysterical stuff going on, and that's just what that experience is. Yes, of course. How else would you respond if you couldn't trust what someone said?
Yes.
How else could it be?
Yes.
And that just everything calmed down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to me, that all of it.
Yes.
Is the place where that perspective that can contain simultaneously the good ego, the hysterical ego reaction, the compassion, the awareness that there's nothing wrong, right? That's what's true.
All within hours. I mean, moments. I don't even remember. It just, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We don't have time, Michael. Is that
that's right.
Next one?
Yep.
Next. Do it Thursday. All right. Thank you very much.
Actually, before we can I just check in?
Yeah.
Should we always check the schedule before? Because
yes.
I came up, I didn't know we weren't having group on Tuesday.
Yeah, do check the schedule.
So it's up to us. It won't necessarily be announced.
We usually try to send an email, but if it didn't get rescheduled, then it's really what's this. When we published the November schedule, we didn't have Thursday group, yes, last week. So usually if it gets cancelled, we email, but if it's published.
So check at the beginning of each month.
Yes.
Otherwise it would be announced.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It would change.
But this Thursday there is group.
Thank you.
So is it hard to have it say no group rather than just a blank?
Sure.
I got confused.
That would be helpful.
Because I looked, too. And
we'll do that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.